Hello, happy Saturday. Welcome to this week's episode of Endometriosis Journey the Butterfly. I'm Letitia, international best-selling author, international empowerment speaker, entrepreneur, jewelry designer, of course, podcast host, and also endometriosis advocate. This week's episode is a special one for me. It is to celebrate 2 years of Endometriosis Journey the Butterfly. Yay, I'm so excited. But I have to thank all of you listeners because I wouldn't have made it 2 years without you. So let's jump into this week's episode. So I can't believe that September marks 2 years since Endometriosis Journey the Butterfly first started. It's been quite a ride and many things have happened. Well, let me tell you how it all started. I originally started Endometriosis Journey the Butterfly, honestly, as a type of journal for me. Something that I could use to express my thoughts and feelings after my laparoscopic procedure, which is the surgical procedure used to, the only surgical procedure, I guess I should say, used to determine if you have endometriosis or not. So after my surgery to determine I did have endometriosis, which I knew. I was pretty sure I had endometriosis before even having that test. It's just to make sure it's official, because otherwise it's just they're guessing and that's official. So when the diagnosis came back that I had endometriosis, really I was not shocked. It wasn't a big deal in terms of, oh my gosh, now I have it. I don't know. Honestly, it was a relief to know that I finally was diagnosed with it and to see where I could go from there, because it was always, well, we suspect you have it, you might have it, we don't know, you might, it sounds like it. So to finally have a concrete diagnosis and be like, yes, you have it, was honestly a relief. There's no more guessing, there's no more I think, I don't know, all of that. So I was honestly relieved to finally know what was going on with me, because, you know, it's hard to get the diagnosis of endometriosis. Honestly, it took 14 years to officially get the diagnosis. On average, it takes 8 to 10 years, but it took 14 years for me to get my official diagnosis. Also, I was just wanting to share my thoughts and how my recovery was going from surgery. And as you know, sometimes people may not want to hear about, you know, how you're doing all of the time. You know, I had some friends that were supportive. One of them, you know, checked on me pretty much every day. I was like, how are you doing? How are you feeling? All of that. And sometimes you feel like you don't want to burden other people with how you're feeling, or you have thoughts that you don't necessarily want to share with other people. They tell you, you know, you shouldn't feel this way, or this, that, and the other. They don't want to talk about it. Or sometimes you just want to say something, get it off your chest, and be done with it. So, thus, I started the podcast. I was not going to make it public. I was not going to publish it at first. It was just going to be something for me, like my personal journal, to, like I said, share my thoughts, my recovery, how I was doing, all of that. But I started looking at different ways before I started, well, had my surgery, honestly. I was looking at YouTube videos and all of that, and I saw that they had YouTube videos where some people were sharing their endometriosis experience. Honestly, they were sharing what it was like before surgery, and then, you know, they did a video after surgery or preparing for surgery. And I really liked the idea that they were so public with it, but I didn't really like the video aspect of it. Endometriosis is hard. We know it takes a toll on us physically, mentally, you know, emotionally. It's just hard all around. I don't think anyone understands that. Currently, I am going through a endometriosis flare-up where I'm constantly have endo-belly, which is very annoying and frustrating. And it's trying to figure out what to do. Again, I think that I have bowel endometriosis, but that was not something that could be diagnosed specifically then. Honestly, the ball was dropped during my surgery, and so I would have to have another surgery exactly to see if I do have bowel endometriosis, because it was not taken care of correctly the first time I had surgery. So I feel like I have the bad endometriosis. I feel like that's flaring up really bad, having a lot of bowel problems, and since I have an endo belly. So honestly, you know, that's something that's up and down, but I'm having a flare, you know, currently been having one for a couple weeks. That's not necessarily something that you want to, you know, be on camera, you know, when you are blue and different things, but it does show a different side, but it's not something I wanted to do. And I'm more of a talker anyway. And so a podcast just fits so perfectly in terms of what I wanted to do, how I wanted to share. One of my friends got me hooked on podcasts probably earlier in the 2019, possibly, late 2018, something like that. I would listen. I wasn't, you know, I wouldn't listen as much as she did, but I did find it very interesting and did learn a lot of different things from podcasts. So to actually be someone who has their own podcast and for 2 years is amazing. I'm so, you know, thankful, blessed. Again, I could not have this without all of you guys. So I really appreciate everything, all the listeners all around the world. I mean, it's just amazing how many people actually listen. It's just mind-blowing from all the different countries that I have listeners from. It just blows my mind whenever I look at, you know, the stats and see where people are listening from. It's just amazing. It really makes me feel good to know that I am helping people and reaching people all across the world. So currently I'm listened to in 64 countries, including the U.S., which I'm very proud of. There, you know, 64, I feel like it's a lot. It's a good number. Amazing countries that are on the list. Many of the countries on the list are a place I'd like to visit. So hopefully, you know, one day I can come and visit you, visit your country. Amazing places are on the list. Bucket list places are on the list, and it's just so amazing to know that people are listening to you from some place you've always dreamed of going that's on your list. So that's just, wow, just very, very humbling to know that you guys are listening to me all over the world. And I love to get feedback from you on what you want to hear, if there's a certain topic that I have not addressed that you want to hear, if there's something specifically you're struggling with. All of that, I know we need to talk again about natural supplements and natural things, and I do need to get that taken care of. We talked about that and just see what's going on with that. But I am just so, man, when I think about all of the things that has happened in the last 2 years, it's just so amazing. Wow, I have so many things. I've become an empowerment speaker. So now I speak on stages about advocating for yourself, advocating for your health, as well as speak about my journey to endometriosis. That started after I started my podcast. So that is amazing. It's just wild to think about that. And it's like we're on episode 42. I mean, that's amazing. I guess one of the big things that has come out is just how much I've grown in terms of learning about endometriosis and all that comes with it. Every day is a learning process. I'm always learning and just researching, finding out new things, and it's just so, we need a cure, honestly. It's really how I feel. We need a cure for endometriosis. It's something that is really affecting women, and some are suffering silently. And it's just something that I feel like we just need more research, we need a cure, we need more money put in it. We just need to figure this out. What causes it? Why it happens? Why women are suffering? Why it causes so much pain? Just so many questions. So many questions. Also, through the podcast, I've, you know, since the time of the podcast, this year, 2021, honestly, I've become a best-selling author. So amazing. Times to have two best-selling books. Currently am co-author of three collaborative books and a collaborative audiobook project as well as currently working on another collaborative book that's going to be coming out in 2022. And then later on, I will be working on another book that'll be coming out in 2022. So I know I'll have at least two books in 2022, two collaborative projects. And then I'm also working on my own book as well. So we will see when that comes out. At this point, I'm not sure, but I am working on it. So we will see. So I get to tell my whole story of what is going on with endometriosis and how it affects me. So it's just a blessing to see all of these things through the podcast. And I know my mission is to educate and bring awareness about endometriosis. And it's coming together on all fronts. Speaking, you know, print is having the book. I've also had the chance to be in some magazines, done some articles, and just really getting my name out there in terms of spreading awareness about endometriosis. That's what it's all about. It's not about me. It's about the mission and helping to get the word out. The more we know, the more we can get help, hopefully. Hopefully, the more we can get the funding. Hopefully, we can get the research that we need for endometriosis. But I feel like it's something still not a lot of people know what it is. They've heard of it, but they don't necessarily know what endometriosis is. And one of the strangest things to me is, honestly, we've talked about this before. I've talked about my whole state does not have an official endometriosis specialist, which is crazy. So it's like I have to drive 4 hours away, you know, which is the closest one. And the only thing with that is, I was trying to get into season, like, I can't get in until January, honestly. And then it's like, you know, they're like, we can put you on the cancellation list. That's fine, but what if there's a last minute cancellation? I'm not going to be able to get there, like, in 4 hours. Like, 4 hours is how long it takes. So it's like, you've got to be prepared. So, you know, it's just all these little things that you don't think of or that you may take for granted. Some people, you know, with chronic diseases, we have to travel. We have to plan ahead. So, you know, honestly, I always, just in life in general, just the way things go and all of that, I always keep an overnight bag packed, period, just in general. So I always keep one packed, you know, so in case I do, you know, have to leave for an appointment or something like that, I have it already packed. Try to keep, make sure that I keep all the supplies that I need on hand in case, you know, you need something. Like, honestly, if anything, the pandemic has showed us that the world can shut down. And we need to be prepared for that. And, you know, you need to make sure that you have whatever it is that you need to make sure that you are staying healthy. Make sure that you can, you know, have your endo, you know, if you're taking vitamins, supplements, whatever for your endo, you know, even your menstrual pads, or tampons or whatever you may use, cups. During the pandemic last year in 2020, man, I mean, they were out of everything. My friend was talking about, somehow we got on the topic and mentioned something about pads. And I'm like, oh yeah, you know, we don't know how long the shutdown's going to be because we were on mandatory stay at home for over 30 days where I live. And so we could go to the grocery, you can go to the grocery store, you could go to the doctor, you could go to the pharmacy, you could get something to eat, places like that, but otherwise you really couldn't be out. And that's, you know, I started walking more and all that just to get out of the house. But, man, they did not have anything really. I barely got enough pads because they didn't have that many at the store, so they had, you know, I grabbed a couple packages they had at the store. Of course, we know they did not have toilet paper. That was one of the things that they kept running out of because people were hoarding them with toilet paper. Other things, vitamins. Man, they did not have vitamins. And I'm talking about, like, vitamins, period. I remember I went down to the store. Man, it's a name brand store. You guys know it. You probably shop there all the time. Man, when I tell you the vitamin aisle was empty, it was empty. Like, no vitamins. Now, I know I have talked about it. I've taken it for, this point, a while. A couple, two, maybe I've taken it for 3 years at this point. Elderberry. Man, elderberry is supposed to help your, they claim that it helps your, supposed to help with your immune system is one of the benefits they say of elderberry. Man, when people found that out, elderberry was gone. Gone. Health food store, we don't have elderberry. We don't know when we're getting more in. Honestly, elderberry is something that's popular. I was told about it probably like 3 years ago, 3 or 4 years ago. And it was something that, you know, I heard about it from someone at the doctor's office who was talking about it. And they're like, it's just good, you know, to help or whatever, help you. And, you know, it was flu season at the time when they told me, because I was thinking it was like December, November, somewhere in there. Like, okay, so some people use it, you know, in the cold, you know, weather, boost their immunity or whatever for the flu season. Well, but man, when people, this pandemic had people buying and hoarding the elderberry. And elderberry has gotten more popular. It's in so many different forms now. They have syrup. They have liquid. They have gummies. I mean, they even have it in different vitamins. So elderberry, I mean, man, it's hard to find. If you, you know, I don't know, if you want to try elderberry, you know, I hopefully there'll be some later in the season as it gets colder and all of that. But, you know, if you want to try it, I would say go to the store. You know, you can find it at most stores. They have a variety of, like I said, ways you can take it, forms you can take it. If you want to try it, man, you better get some now before it's gone. But it's some, you know, it's a regular vitamin I take every day, so I take my elderberry. And some people, I've taken the gummy and the liquid. And the liquid I just put in tea, you know, I just put it in my tea and all of that. I don't, it's not that big a deal, just stir it in, all of that. So we go from there. But just, it's just so weird to think of all just everything that has happened in the time of this podcast that I've shared with you guys. Ups, downs, gotten awards, been nominated for awards in this time. Honestly, one of them was for, one of the awards that I was nominated for is for being a health advocate was Best Podcast, which I'm very excited about. So I appreciate, you know, that even being nominated is a great honor. And, you know, there are more things down the pipeline, more ways to advocate. Again, still working on becoming an advocate more for people as in an endometriosis coach. So if that's something you're interested in, please email me. I'd love to work with you. I feel like endometriosis is something that just normally gets pushed to the back. I mean, I don't feel like we have a lot of support for it, but we need to. I mean, it's very taxing. It's just so stressful, and I feel like it's just something that we don't really talk about or anything like that, but we need to talk about it more, just endometriosis, period. I mean, that is what my goal is, to get the word out there. I feel like we just don't talk about it that much. Like, it's like something that we just, I don't know if we're ashamed to talk about it, or we just feel like we don't need to talk about it, or people don't care. I don't know what it is. But one in ten, that is a staggering stat. 1 in 10 humans with a vagina have endometriosis. Staggering. So we're in a room of 100 people. 10 have it. This is just, come on now. 10 people have it. How many people do you think have it that you don't know? Most people don't say anything. Even though I'm public and talk about mine, there are probably still people on my page that I know that probably still don't know. Just think about that. Think about prior to the pandemic, when we had all, you know, when we were going to these big events, all the people, 1 in 10, all of these people that had it, they were probably suffering silently, dealing with something. And they just don't talk about it, because it's just something we just don't. We don't learn about it in school. They don't talk about it in health class. We don't learn about it really at the gynecologist. They don't really tell us much about it. Period. I mean, they give us a pamphlet and be like, you know, here's the pamphlet and all of that. But, I mean, it's really... I mean, we do know some things about it. I mean, the only way that I really learned more about endometriosis, honestly, was not from the pamphlet the doctor gave me. It was from researching it myself, going online, reading books. That's really what helped. Reading books, reading other people's blogs, reading endometriosis people's blogs, watching their, you know, some people I talked about, YouTube, all of that. That's how I learned it. I didn't learn it from the pamphlet that they give about this and that. It gives some information, but it doesn't tell you everything. I want to know how it affects women, where it, you know, how it affects you, where it affects you, everything. Like, when you read it, it has you thinking that endometriosis only affects you in the reproductive area. That's not true. It can affect you all over. I mean, there are people who are, you know, getting, you know, I've read about some people, they had it in their brains, their lungs. A lot of people lately, it seems like I've been reading online, have it, you know, it's affecting their appendix, which is really scary. Some people, you know, it just affects people everywhere, it seems like. It affects me in my bowel. Bowel is one of the places that it affects you. Just so many different places that it can affect you, but we don't seem to talk about that. You know, women are getting hysterectomies, but they still have endometriosis, and or it's coming back as other things that I'm reading as well. We need to be aware of that, because so many women are told to get a hysterectomy. It will stop it. It will not. Depends on where it is. So that's something that we need to be aware of as well. We need to know that endometriosis is a chronic disease. It affects multiple, it can affect multiple organs, be in multiple places, and does not necessarily go away with having a hysterectomy. Well, we need to know that. That's something that needs to be talked about. And I don't feel like we're talking about it. Let's get the conversation started. Why are we not talking about these things? Why is the medical professional community not talking about endometriosis more? Why don't they say, you know, hey, we have people, 1 in 10, it can affect multiple organs. Let's look for that. I mean, why do we have to suffer and potentially keep losing organs or different parts of our body to endometriosis when we don't even know, you know, sometimes that it affects it? People are losing their ovaries, they're losing fallopian tubes, losing appendix. Come on now, that's ridiculous. All because endometriosis is affecting it so badly. And we don't even know. And it's taken 8 to 10 years to officially get diagnosed. How much damage do you think is caused before we even get diagnosed? Think about that. That endometriosis is running rampant in your body before you ever, ever, ever know that you have it. You're suspected of having it. You might have it. They think you might have it. 8 to 10 years. That's a lot of damage and a lot of time. Depending on what stage you have too and where it is. If it's spreading everywhere, man, come on now. What other disease takes 8 to 10 years to discover? And do they not do everything that they can to try to inform them? I can't think of any. It took me 14 years to get a diagnosis. 14 years. I am thankful and blessed to still at this point have my ovaries, my fallopian tube, my uterus. Not to say they didn't want to take it. The lady did when I complained about how my recovery was going at first. I was having really, really heavy periods, clots, all this. And she's like, you can have a hysterectomy, not because I was in pain per se, not because she didn't get all the endometriosis, not because I am doubled over and feeling like it's the last resort. This was thrown out to me after because I was having a bad period and lots of clots. Let's think about that. So we want to do major surgery and take someone's, just like basically throw them into menopause for no reason, all because they have a bad period post-surgery. So what should have happened was you should have been like, okay, well, your period's going to change after surgery. Let's give it, you know, 3 to 6 months and revisit it. You don't throw a hysterectomy on the table. It's like, really? Like, I feel like no one's really advocating for the endometriosis patient. I feel like it's about money sometimes. Like, hysterectomy, surgery, whatever we can do, that's not really going to help me. Having a hysterectomy is not going to keep me from having endometriosis. It's not going to keep me from having the symptoms I'm having. I'm pretty sure I have bowel endometriosis. So I'm still going to have endometriosis on my bowel. It's still going to flare up. Because it flares up. Yeah, it flares up. At this point, it seems like all the time. So a hysterectomy is not going to stop endometriosis. Not going to stop my issues. So we need to stop that narrative today. That is not necessarily going to help you. It's not the end-all, be-all. I've been reading online. There's people who've had hysterectomy, and they still have endometriosis. They said it came back. So on some level, they had that surgery for no reason, which is ridiculous because it's a major surgery. And just the effect that it has on your body is just ridiculous. And so to just be throwing that out there to people, like, it's no big deal. I do have an issue with that. Just so many complaints. We need a cure. We need to make sure we have endometriosis specialists. Honestly, that's how I feel. We need to have endometriosis specialists. And I'm talking more than one, okay? In every state in the United States. We need endometriosis doctors in every state. That is ridiculous that in 2021, you have to drive 4 hours to see a specialist. And of course, since there are not many in this area, of course, they're booked out until January. I mean, January is a little ways, but it's not, but still, that's ridiculous. What other doctor do you know is booked out until January? Honestly. I mean, I feel like I can get into almost any other doctor or any other specialist before January, honestly. If I need to get into my my PCP, I mean, I can get in probably next month. October could probably get in. It's probably going to, you know, if I needed to get into GI, for example, GI is kind of busy sometimes, but I'm sure I could get into GI in the next month or two. I'm sure they're not going to tell me I got to wait till January. OBGYN, if I need to get in to see the gynecologist, they're busy as well, but I'm sure I could get in before January. They could probably get me in the next month or two as well. I mean, I don't know what doctor is so busy or specialist besides one that we don't have enough of that, you know, you're having to suffer. So basically I have to continue to suffer until January until I can get to see them. And so it's like I'm waiting another approximately like another almost a little less than 4 months, honestly, to see the doctor. And it's just like, that's just so ridiculous. And then another thing is I live in the Midwest. So we have this horrible thing called snowstorm. So that's another issue. So in January, hey, let's be real. There's a chance there could be a snowstorm. So I may not even get to go to that appointment. If we have a bad snowstorm where I live, 4 hours away, hey, you know, it's all about that. So you have to take weather. I know some of you get to live in nice places where you don't have nasty snow. I'm going to get there one day, but for now I'm stuck in this place that has seasons. I'm not a big fan of seasons because I like summer all the time, so I like warm weather and all of that. But, you know, that's the concern as well, is weather. You know, what if there's a blizzard? What if it's an ice storm? What if it's a snowstorm? What if we get feet of snow? I mean, it's always something to think about, so it's always something. But as someone who has endometriosis, that's something we should be thinking about. Where is the doctor? You know, if we need an endometriosis specialist, how close is one? Can we get one soon? Can we get in soon? All of this. Now, 4 hours is better probably than some people have to drive, but still, it's the principle of you have to, like, it's not like I can just take, like, a half day off or, you know, just be like, oh, I'm going to run and take a couple hours off. It's like you need practically, depending on when the appointment is, you probably need, like, the whole day. And it's like, they schedule their appointments all over the place. So it's like, when I went last December, then it's like, based on just the different things and all that, I honestly went, you know, my appointment was so early and all of that, I honestly went the night before. Because it was just like first thing in the morning, it's like I'm not trying to drive, you know, in the darkest place and not get there. Because I would have to have left in the middle of the night to have gotten there in time. It's like I'm not trying to, you know, early morning. So to be on the safe side, to get there on time, I probably would have had to have left my house. Just to be on the safe side in case I had to, you know, traffic, all that. Just to be on the safe side, I probably would have left about, I would have probably given myself like 4.5-5 hours since it was done. So I probably would have left around 3 in the morning, honestly. Didn't want to do that, so I just left, you know, the night before, and it was fine. But this appointment, honestly, you know, I probably, you know, depending on the weather and all that, I would have to take a whole, you know, that's just the whole day. And, you know, it's just something to think about. I mean, even if I can, you know, hopefully they have a cancellation and I can get in sooner or something, but if I can't, you know, I can make it there and all of that. What if they have a snowstorm while I'm there? Then that's another day that I have to stay. So it's all these different things we need to talk about. We need endometriosis specialists in every state. I'm not talking about one. I'm talking about more than one, but I'm talking about an office. These states need to have it. It's a big issue. It's something we just need. I mean, it's just ridiculous. We have all the other specialists. Why don't we have endometriosis specialists? Yes, you can go to the gynecologist. Gynecologist is not really the endometriosis specialist. They're specialists for all different types. You know, they deal with all different types of disease. I want someone who deals specifically with endometriosis, someone who's up to date on what's going on with endometriosis, someone who all they deal with is endometriosis. That's how I'm feeling. That's the service I want. I mean, we need to get something figured out. I'm just, you know, something that's ridiculous to me. I don't know what we need to do to change it, but I'm always down to, you know, help. Let's get it going. I'm ready to help in any way that I can. And honestly, you know, we need to do something. It's ridiculous. We need to get something done. I'm just over it at this point. Can't even, you know, get in. It's just, can't even get in when you need to the doctor because, you know, there are only so many in that office, period. I think there are two in the office, honestly. And you think you have everyone coming from you assume possibly you could have everyone coming from my state that have it. Nearby states, if they're close to the border on the other side. So, you know that, and then, there must be a lot of people with endometriosis. If these two people are always filled up, I mean, it does normally take at least 3 or 4 months normally to get in. So that's nothing new. To be getting in with them. It does take a while. So, that's how it is. That's why I said we need them in every state and we need more than one. It's something that we need, and I hope that none of you have to deal with it. It's very frustrating at times. But it's, you know, something we have to deal with when we have endometriosis. But I am very thankful to have this platform to share my opinions and thoughts about endometriosis. I am thankful for all of the different ways that I can share my message and get awareness out about endometriosis and just all of the opportunities that have presented themselves in the last 2 years. I'm definitely thankful and blessed to have all of you listeners, my audience. I could not make this show without you. Yes, I do share my personal information, personal things going on, but without you listening, then I don't have a podcast. And I really appreciate all of the love you guys show me listening to it. Really appreciate it. It means a lot. Not always easy to be so vulnerable and share all of everything that goes on with endometriosis. Endometriosis is something that is just, as you know, I know some of you listening do have endometriosis, or you know other people have endometriosis. Sometimes endometriosis can be draining. I talked about that in the previous episode. Mentally draining. Just so many emotions. Just the emotions that you go through, that you feel, how you're feeling, how you're thinking, it's just crazy sometimes. In terms of, it's a roller coaster, honestly. I'm very thankful that I made it through the spring and summer this year, honestly, without going to the ER. Last 2 years, 2019, 2020, I've gone to the ER both years. I've gone to the ER in the spring and or summer because I had horrible, horrible cysts that felt like they were going to explode. And I'm just thankful that I did not have to go this spring and summer. I pray that that continues. I pray that none of you have to go into the ER as an endometriosis patient is a nightmare. You know, you tell them what's going on. They don't think that's what it is. They run the test. I mean, oh my gosh, when I had to go to ER last year in 2020, it was just like a nightmare. I had the person, I did not have a doctor. I had the nurse practitioner. That's who I had. And did not listen to me for anything. Was just determined that it was not what I said it was. And ran all these tests unnecessarily. Because, you know, just because she didn't feel like I was having, you know, cysts don't hurt, she tells you. You can't feel a cyst. The cyst isn't going to feel like it's going to explode. Okay, why don't you do your research and see about that? You have cysts that can, you know, basically do all types of damage in your body. So, I don't know what that was about, but it's a nightmare. You know, it took a lot. I was in pain for probably, I was probably in pain at least a month both times before I went to the ER. So I was in extreme pain for that. I'm not someone who likes to go to the ER just to go. Honestly, I think the ER is a nightmare and I don't like going. I try to, you know, not go unless it's necessary. So to just, you know, have that experience and just be treated like that with endometriosis is just annoying. So we need to change that as well. We need, you know, honestly, everybody needs to be, everybody just needs a class on endometriosis. We need to be researching it, all of the medical professionals included, because you just cannot, if someone has endometriosis and tells you what's going on, we have to listen to them and believe them. We can't say, oh no, it's not that, it's this, I know what it is, and all this. Just because you're the professional does not mean that you're always right. You need to, and by the same token, you need to know your body so you know when something's wrong and it's not supposed to be. So it's a catch-22. Like, I know when things are wrong with my body. I keep track of those things and I am in tune to them. So I know when something's wrong. Like, I know when things are up with my period. I know when things are up with my body now. That's why I said I'm in a flare-up. Because things are happening that normally don't happen. So we need to be conscious of our bodies and what's going on. I will continue to share my journey with endometriosis. I will continue to advocate for change. And I hope that you will join me. And I'm just so thankful for 2 years, man. Cheers to many more years to come, and I will be starting, man, this is crazy, January we'll talk about it again, January we'll be starting season 4, because we're currently in season 3, and I don't know, we'll see how it starts, because last year I know I did not start right in January, I took some time off. We'll see how it goes this year. I had so many things going on last year. I had a big birthday, had a book launch. So I have to see how the book launch. I think the book is probably coming out early 2022. So we'll have to see on how that works. But I'll let you guys know, you know, if I'm taking a break again. It won't be like the last time when I took a break and didn't say anything. But I look forward to next episode, I think I'm going to talk about something that we just do not talk about much. Honestly, a friend kind of gave me the idea, so I think I'm going to talk about that. So, you'll have to tune in for the next episode of Endometriosis Journey to Butterfly on Saturday, October 9th, 12:45 Central Standard Time. To see what that topic that I'm thinking about is. And always, as always, if you'd like to have something to share, please email me. My email is in the link Also, if you'd ever want to have me speak to your group about endometriosis, advocating for yourself or your health, or you're interested in me being your endometriosis coach, send me an email as well. I look forward to hearing from you. And as always, stay safe, be healthy, and until next time, I will see you then. Bye.